Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
I'm sure most of us have a cell phone, and I'm sure most of us have experienced a call from an unknown caller. I'm sure, like me, that's one of your favorite things because you're thinking, man, I've got a lot going on with my work and my family, and here's this random person. I wonder if I should answer it. Should I not? Most of the time, I don't answer it. Sometimes I will. Most of the time, I wish I hadn't. But every once in a while, it works out good. Well, today, as we continue our series in Samuel, we're back in 1 Samuel, we're in chapter 3. Go ahead and turn there if you hadn't already. We find a character, an individual in Samuel, because we're looking at 1 and 2 Samuel by studying characters in the Bible who had an unknown caller. He didn't quite know how to answer, whether to answer, what to say, who was this. It was somewhat, and we're going to read this, it was somewhat random. Now, every once in a while, when you get to know somebody, you know their voice. I mean, they can speak to you, call you out of nowhere, and you know their voice. I tend to know my wife's voice. I know my child's voice. I know people that I work with usually over time. I get to know their voice. And so you know what it's like when you have a close relationship, work relationship, family relationship, friend relationship. You just kind of know that voice every once in a while, especially when I first got here. I would call Stephanie, our administrative assistant, and I would disguise my voice. I've known to do that from time to time, and I would use my Brother Phil voice, or I would use a random redneck preacher voice, which some would say, well, you're a redneck preacher. And then, or I would use a salesperson's voice, trying to sell the church something they didn't need. And Stephanie would just kind of roll along with me, and I felt like she probably knew who it was. And I'd say, you know who this is? Well, yeah. And so she'd tell me, she'd say, plus you got to remember I have caller ID. So I can't pull that trick on her anymore because she knows. So what we want to do as a Christian, we want to know as a believer what God's will is. And we're talking about major issues here. I mean, there's minor things that are important, but not in this big scheme of life. You're probably maybe discussing with your family where you're going to go to lunch. That's a decision, but that's not a life-changing decision. You may be going to buy a new pair of shoes this week, and that's a little more significant than a meal because it's going to be with you a while, and you're making a financial investment. But it's not a life-changing decision. I'm talking about today, weighty decisions. How do we know the voice of God? How do we know that God is speaking to us? Let's look at all of chapter 3. We have, if you've not been with us, we've studied several characters. We looked at Hannah. Hannah was barren and she wanted to bear a child. And we went over why that was so important, especially in biblical times. And God answered her prayer. She had a son named Samuel. And then last time after that, we looked at Eli, who was Samuel's mentor. He's the mentee. And Eli was a good guy, but somewhere along the way, he forgot to invest in his family. And so we talked about Hophni and Phinehas, who went off the railings. And because of their disappointment to God's will, to their dad, and to the people of God, there were great consequences. And we're going to see a little bit of that again today. And so today we are specifically on Samuel, and we're going to see that specifically God had a call for his life, though he had his hand on him from the very beginning because he was an answer to prayer. God had his hand on his life, and here we go in verse 1, reading out of the NIV. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. That was his mentor. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. In other words, he was about to go to sleep in the normal place where he usually rested for the evening. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back. Lie down." So he went and lay down. Verse 6 again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me, my son." Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time, the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, verse 9, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Key word, we're going to come back to that in a minute. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as the Lord came and stood there calling as to the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end." This was 2 weeks ago. We went over the consequences of sin. "For I told him," verse 13, "that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about, his sons blaspheming God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, 'Samuel, my son.' Samuel answered, 'Here I am. What was it he said to you?'" In other words, what did God reveal to you when he spoke? "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Last few verses. Chapter 3, 1 Samuel. "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. Let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." The call of God. Let's consider chapter 3, what was happening and what may be happening in your life and mine right now as it concerns the call of God, the will of God with weighty decisions. How do you decipher or know? First thing we see is sometimes it comes out of nowhere. Sometimes it can come out of nowhere. Most times we think, and certainly this can happen because God's word is the primary way he reveals his will, his call. We think it might happen to our devotional life. It might happen in Sunday school at night. It might happen in big church at 10:30. It might happen during a retreat or a conference or a Hungry Men or Wednesday night or whenever it might be. Listen to your favorite preacher on the radio. It might happen then, but it might be that it happens out of nowhere. Let's look at this a little closer. Jewish historian Josephus indicated he felt that Samuel was about 12 at this time. Josephus is a Jewish historian. I remember in my dad's library, at the house, he had books. We had bookshelves. He had his study at the church, but he had this bookshelf. And there was this big yellow book that said Josephus. I didn't necessarily hear about Josephus when I'd go to Sunday school or church. I remember asking my dad, "Dad, who is Josephus?" And, you know, as a child, he was a Jewish historian. So I just kind of, okay, and I just move on. Josephus can help us know some things about the history of the Bible, and especially the New Testament, that gives insight to God's Word. In this particular case, he felt like Samuel was about 12 years old. Some other theologians believe that more than likely he was a young teenager when he heard this call from God. The Hebrew term boy was also used for David when he fought Goliath. And we know he was a teenager then. The golden lampstands that the scripture talks about were located in the holy place of the tabernacle and were filled with olive oil and lit at twilight. The lamp kept burning from evening until morning. The lamp itself was a symbol of God's light, God's truth given to the world through God's people at the time, Israel. And it was certainly dim at this time because for this particular season and the chronological study of God in the Bible, the light was dim. It had not been revealed specifically, and that was about to change. The priest, Eli, could barely see. He had proven to have limitations over the course of his time because of his family, Hophni and Phinehas, and not being a strong leader in the house, as we discovered 2 weeks ago. So just before dawn, while the lampstand was still burning, Samuel was called to his prophetic ministry. He was preparing to sleep like he had always done, and it came out of nowhere. Have you had in your lifetime, however long it's been as a Christian, God speak to you out of nowhere? I mean, you can go back to a certain time or place or point, and maybe you didn't realize it then, but over your journey, you realize, I pretty much sense and feel and believe God spoke to me specifically about something in my life at that time. God still does that. Now, he speaks through his word. He speaks through the power of his Holy Spirit. He speaks through wise counsel. He speaks through his church. But every once in a while, there are those moments, and it's more than feeling. It's a sense of, I believe God is speaking to me about something related to him and my life. I can reflect on two or three times. I won't go in great detail. Some of them I have spoken to you about briefly over these 2 years. One is, as a junior in high school, we had moved to Clinton. My dad was working for the denomination, and we had a two-story home. I'd had dinner with my folks. My sister's already moved out. And we were having a conversation for whatever reason about the future and what I might want to be or do. I don't know how it came up. I mentioned that I wanted to be a coach. And then I got on the steps and looked back down and said, "But Daddy, I think you and Mama probably know what I'm supposed to do." That came out of nowhere. But I can take you to the exact step and the step of Simmons Place there in Clinton, Mississippi. If they would let us go back in that house, and I can tell you it was as real today as it was when I was like 16 years old. Because I think and believe now that was a sense of God's and me declaring that though I didn't understand it, though I couldn't believe it, though I was had a long way to go, I sensed God calling me to the ministry. And then fast forward years later, I was about to graduate from Southwestern Seminary. I was going to go into youth ministry and recreation ministry and had gotten my degree. And I'm sitting there in what was called the Rotunda. Phil went to Southwestern. It's in Fort Worth. It's this big, beautiful inside of a building. You got the pictures and portraits of the past presidents. I'm sitting there with my college roommate, Jim Turcotte, who was also going and getting a degree. And out of nowhere, I looked at Jim and said, but you know what, Jim, I think one day I might be supposed to preach. And he just kind of looked at me because I think it shocked him as much as it shocked me to say that. But I can look back on that and say, you know what, I truly believe that was me declaring what I sensed was God calling me one day, and it was years to come, to do what I'm doing now. You had those moments? Now, it doesn't have to be in vocational ministry. Every child of God is a minister. Okay? Understand that. Medical field, salesperson, teacher, coach. I mean, farmer, you go through all kinds of lists of things. We're to be a light in a dark world. Wherever it is, God has called us and placed us. It's really important. Some people are in vocational ministry. Some people are bivocational. Some do things in the church, but during the week, man, they are on their mission field. And they're doing what God has called them to do. What God has called them to be. I can remember one other time walking out when I was pastor at Morrison Heights, and we had a house, and this guy built me a study out behind the house. And I can remember specifically, I probably have only told Kelly this, but there was one time just walking from, they didn't have a restroom, so I'd gone back in to go to the restroom. I was walking back out before I opened the door, just had this sense of that God was with me, he was going to help me, and I was in the midst of having small children, working on my doctorate, working with leaders to relocate the church, just different things going on. But I'm telling you, there was this sense of, it's going to be okay. I got this. Have you had those moments? Probably, if we had a microphone, said, all right, it's testimony time. More than likely, there would be those that felt comfortable to testify the call of God in your life over periods of time. And I'm going over this because it might be that you're thinking, I've never really thought about that. Well, I would encourage you to think about it. God's call on our life can come out of nowhere. I'll show you something. Now, don't assume you know what I'm about to say. My son-in-law's, I can read his voice. I can read his voice. He's saying, don't do it, Big H. Oh, I'm nervous. Don't do it. Calm down, Logan. It's all right. So recently, I was on Highway 49, and I was eating. Maybe you've seen the place. Shady Acres Village. It's in Collins. Man, their food's good. And they got the neatest little trinkets, gifts, stuff only in Mississippi. You know, I've been on the mission field in Florida for years, so I love this. I love coming home to all this. Like, yes, I'm home. They got all kind of stuff. And I saw this random donkey picture. And I asked the lady, I said, you got more of these? No. This is the only one you got. That's it. All right. It's for sale? Yep. Do you know why you have it? Nope. That's all I need to know. I'm buying it. So I keep this in my study. There's different reasons, but the one I want to talk about, and you may see this again, it's your first time, is the story in Numbers 22 about Balaam's donkey. You talk about out of nowhere. Now, I'm going to just keep that so y'all can see it. If you have your Bible, flip over to Numbers 22 or just listen to it. I'm not going to read all of Numbers 22, but I just want to read just a portion. Now, this is not necessarily common today, okay? Now, God can do whatever he wants. We don't need to limit God. His primary way is through his word, the Holy Spirit, wise counsel, circumstances, God's church. But listen to what happened. Verse 21, Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went to the Moabite officials. Now, real quick, paraphrase. God had told him not to do that. Hey, Balaam, you need to do something I want you to do. You need to go in this direction, and I'm counting on you, buddy, to do what's right. But God, verse 22 of 22, was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a draw sword in his hand, he turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Skip on down to verse 22. Then the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. It lay down under Balaam, and he was angry, and he beat it with his staff. This donkey kept trying, with the angel's help, to get him on the right track and do the right thing. He kept beating his donkey. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, verse 28 of Numbers 22, and it said, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" The donkey said that. It's right here in the Bible. Balaam answered the donkey. I mean, now he's talking to his donkey. "You have made a fool out of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "And I not your own donkey?" In other words, we've hung out for a while. I'm your bro. I'm your donkey, which you have always ridden to this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the angel opened Balaam's eyes. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road, that it was sword was drawn. So he bowed low and he fell face down. Out of nowhere, God spoke to him through a donkey. Out of nowhere, God spoke to Samuel about being his prophet, his spokesperson, through a divine revelation. He'd never experienced that before. So it took him a little while, and Eli a little while, maybe longer than it should have, to say, "Oh, go back and listen. I believe the Lord's speaking to you." If God can use a donkey to redirect someone, he can use anything or anyone to help you and me decide what direction to go. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. "These things have I written that you might know which direction to go. The one who calls you is faithful," it says specifically, "and he will do it." God can call you to salvation, a ministry, or something else out of nowhere. Folks, please don't miss it. Secondly, from the text we find this. God's call will always lead you somewhere. Samuel had not yet encountered God in a personal way and certainly not received divine revelation like he did in our text. It took Eli a minute to realize what was going on with his mentee. He finally connected the dots and he told him to listen. The Hebrew word for listening is this, what I referred to when I was reading the passage: to hear with interest. In the original language, when it uses the word listening, to hear with interest, or to listen, to obey. God's got a word and he wants you to do something. That's what that word means. Samuel did listen. And we see in the final verses of the text that I read this morning that he was calling him to be a prophet in Shiloh. That's verses 20 and 21. And so he did listen and he did fulfill God's call on his life to be a prophet. Thoughts about the somewhere to help you discern. Listen closely to help you understand major point number two, Perhaps one of these things or several will help you with something you're trying to decide or you will in the future. The somewhere may be in a community you've never lived in before. God can do that. He can move you out of state if he wants to. We've got a family right now, I didn't ask for permission to tell you this, so I won't mention a name. We've got a family right now that God is, he's sensing that God is calling him to move to another community out of state with his family. And he believes it's the voice of God, and the last thing I knew, he's obeying. That's an example. It might be the somewhere may be just for a season. It might be for a year. It may be 10 years. It might be decades. We don't know. You follow God's will. You bloom where you're planted. I mean, go for it. But you're always open to knowing that God can interrupt your life and my life at any point, any time. Don't you ever lock down and say, nope, this is it. Be careful. Be careful. The somewhere will likely be a place where God needs a light to shine for him. There's a lot of dark places in our world. There's a lot of dark companies in our world that need a light. There are places in our community, in our government, in our schools, I mean, you name it, that need a light for Jesus. The somewhere will likely be a place that fits your spiritual gifts, abilities, and maybe even personality. And then one more thing I wrote down, the somewhere may be a place that is outside your comfort zone and stretches you. Just because you've maybe never lived there, had that particular position, does not mean it's not God's will. Now, sure, it needs to match spiritual gifts, abilities, some experience, those kind of things. But just understand, sometimes God will call us to do something to get us out of our comfort zone to help us grow spiritually. That's why we're still here. And develop and maybe do things that we never thought we would do before. John Maxwell says, success is due to our stretching to the challenges of life. Failure comes when we shrink from them. Live your life with no regrets. Don't settle. Please don't talk yourself out of what God clearly is calling you to do. You go for it. Number three, regularly requires courage to go there. To go there. Meaning the opposite of when someone says, man, you don't want to go there. You know that phrase. Let's don't go there. You don't want to go there. Sometimes it might be God's will that we go there to speak the truth, to stand up for what is right, to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, God's not going to leave you hanging. The one who calls is faithful, he will do it. He will help us. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean when we go there that people are going to respond right. But it means when we lay our head down at night, we can know, God, I went there. God's call came at an unexpected challenge. Samuel had the challenge of speaking a very difficult word concerning Eli and his family. This was his mentor. He was the mentee, and he had to go say, hey, this is about to happen to your family. That took courage. The Lord may call you to an unusual challenge. All you got to do is just read verse 14 because it references back to chapter 2, which we studied, and that was the challenge he had before him that he had to tell his mentor, Eli. Man, he received it well. He didn't balk at God's timing to allow Samuel to move further into a position of authority as the prophet. He also didn't justify his son's sin concerning the consequences that would come from that. He didn't justify it. He didn't try to explain it away. He just received it. Basically, in verse 18, let me paraphrase it. It is what it is. May it be the Lord's will. May God do what he says he's going to do. He's to be commended for that. You can't get into the hall of faith, meaning being a child of God that lives faithful, that could be listed if God's word was still being written in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, without going there. It won't happen. You have to be willing to please God alone, fear him, revere him, love him, and trust him, and go there. Here's who's listed in Hebrews 11 that went there: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, David, and Samuel, just to name some in the hall of faith. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. Peacekeepers try to keep peace, trying to please everyone. That's not what God says. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Fearing God must trump fearing man. Translated, living and following Jesus is not for wimps, but it is worth it, because God has you here and me here for a purpose. We might as well go for it. It's a journey. It's an exciting journey. It's got its ups. It's got its downs. But God is faithful, and it's worth it. We see in verse 19 that Samuel was blessed. He had incredible influence. He wasn't perfect. And he left a godly legacy. What might God be calling you to today? Is there something that you might need to come forward publicly and talk to a staff member just to give you some prayer support, some encouragement, some accountability? Or is it something you just need to stand and sing and just do between you and God? Only you can answer that. I would encourage you to follow God's will, whichever one of those is. You say, well, what could God be calling? Well, he could be calling someone to trust him genuinely as Savior and Lord. Salvation, being born again, becoming a Christian. It might be you have some kind of religion, or you just wandered in here and you want to know what it means to be sure if you died, you'd go to heaven, and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God could be calling you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If he is, man, I'd run down this aisle. It might be you just need assurance of salvation. I don't know. But that could be a calling. Some people here today may need to settle their baptism. You know that you're a Christian. You've nailed that down. But for whatever reason, you hadn't been immersed yet. And do you know, sometimes it can be neat to be creative with our baptismal. Sure, I'm all for it. We have a nice one there. And it's nice. But do you know, I am wide open to going to different places to baptize you. I've baptized in the ocean, in a creek, in a pond. Listen, let me give you some ideas. If you say, you know what, that's what I've been waiting for. I want to do that. Well, let me know. Let our staff know. Call the church. All right, here we go. You get an outside, like a horse trough, and you put it out there by the cross, like maybe around Easter time or before, or on a Wednesday. And man, we can have baptismal service right there. That could be possibly your hesitancy to be baptized. It could be holding you up as far as your journey and spiritual growth. Listen, I went with Hunter outside. I didn't really know where we were going, but Union Church. And man, I had the best time. And I saw some stuff. And he showed me, there's a concrete baptismal pool in the woods. Now, it's not quite ready right now to be used. But Hunter assured me, and I know some other guys that would help, they'd clean it up. So here's the deal. He said, man, it's cold. Yeah, well, I'll jump down in there if you will. But man, I'll do it if you will. That could be the coolest place to be baptized. Y'all, it's not necessarily about the place. It's about the person and their willingness to say, I believe it's time. I believe God's calling me to do this. And I believe I want to talk to somebody about doing it sometime, somewhere. Is that what he might be calling you to? Or it might be God's calling you to some type of ministry in the church, in another area, in another job. I don't know. I do not know. But God may be, it might be he's been preparing you. You've been uneasy or something, kind of stirring. And he might be leading you to do something. It might be coming. Or it might be God is speaking to you right now and said, he is talking to you, to me, about something. Man, the Christian life is exciting. And it might be God speaking. Please listen. Lord, we pray that during this invitation, that your will be done in our lives. It might be we need to come to the altar, kneel down and pray. It might be we need to come to the altar with a friend to pray for us. It might be we need to talk to a minister. It might be we just need to stand there and talk to you or sing. I just pray we will do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.